Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. Woo, 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 woo.
Wow, what an interesting introduction, Julie.
It is an interesting introduction. An interesting introduction.
How are you, honey?
I'm okay. How are you?
Yeah, it's okay. I'm okay. I thought for sure that I would be like, you know, it's the first week of January.
Right.
What is it, the 8th or whatever? And
yeah,
like,
the
I'd
eighth.
Be like, oh. You know how we were talking in November about like, hey, let's start planning for the New Year's resolutions in November and get a head start and all this stuff. And I'm literally in kind of a deep funk regarding resolutions or whatever. It's like, how come I don't have the, like, yay, hip, hip, hooray, I can't wait to, you know, it's like 20 below, and I'm cold, but I'm cold deep in my soul.
Right.
I feel
that's
like I'm
a good
frigid.
Country song. In, or good,
am I? Is it?
I'm cold
deep in my soul.
Or if not country.
Can I get a hallelujah? Can
hallelujah,
I get an amen?
Yeah, amen. Or is it definitely a Pink Floyd, you know, kind of a topic on, you know, marijuana or cannabis? I don't know.
Do I have a choice between marijuana and cannabis?
I think there is really a correct term, and I think it's cannabis.
Okay.
But since I'm not, it was funny, I was talking to someone last week, and I said, I don't know why I bring this up because it's so ridiculous I even bring this stuff up. But I'm in a conversation with somebody, and it was Hillary and Dave's parents. And Hillary and Dave are Doug's kids. And so, but they're like in their 60s. And we're talking, and he loves to talk about
the parents are in their 60s.
Yeah, and he's a conspiracy theorist, but very much also a very big Christ believer, Jesus Christ believer, but the conspiracy of it all, but not evangelical, not that. Mm. More like, I mean, just
that's an interesting niche.
Yes, it's a very interesting niche. So I find him fascinating to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But I brought up this idea after our conversation was just going on, and I said, I was reading about it was actually, I think it was like Mooney Bible radio show or something, some kind of
Christian.
Are
you saying Mooney?
Moody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm like, Mooney? Mr. Mooney was an I Love Lucy. Mr. Mooney, please don't take my house away. Don't foreclose on me.
Yeah, it was Mr. Mooney.
He was a banker.
But they were talking about, and I, you know, on this show about doing mushrooms and how doing even one quote unquote dose of psychedelic mushrooms has helped anxiety and depression for like 6 months, and we need to investigate that more. And I was bringing that up. I said, you know, I've never taken drugs before, and there has just been this pull for me to go to Colorado.
You're telling this to this?
Yes, I'm telling
David's
this to
parents.
David's parents, and I'm just like, I go, I just had this pull because I.
How does this correlate with conspiracy theories and
Jesus
Christ? I
don't know,
because
I think it was alternative medicine we were talking about. We're also talking about healthcare and how the healthcare is against us. And,
okay.
And I think I was linking that
it's more like disease care instead of healthcare.
Exactly. Yeah. And we were talking about that earlier today, how. And we'll talk about it a little later about the level of care. Like, there's moderate level of care, and there's good level of care, and then there's like no care. And sometimes the moderate level of care doesn't look any better than the no care,
mm-hmm.
because in moderate level you stay alive a lot longer to feel the pain and the, you know, the crap of living longer. Where no care is, maybe you just die a little earlier to avoid all that stuff.
Well, I'll never forget the line of the week.
Yes,
was you were saying, you know, it's a short life, so you might as well be happy.
Or
you said, you might as well be happy because it's a short life.
Yeah.
And then I said,
life is short. Be happy.
Be happy. and then we got it.
Got it.
You were telling people, hey, be happy because life is short, people.
Yes.
And wink, wink. We get it.
We get it. Yeah. Well, because Doug was complaining to me, and I said, you know.
But you are going through your cynical stage.
I'm just going to call this my cynical stage. Mm-hmm. Just going to claim it, mm-hmm. call it. Call my life right now wondering what is reality, what is the apparent reality, what is
the transparent
what
apparent
is,
transparency.
Exactly. But anyway, today we're going to have a good show.
Who are we?
We're Christine, Marie, and Julie. We're you're a psychotherapist. You're a coach of many sorts. I'm a teacher getting my master's. I'm a coach as well. And what we do on this Sunday night is we try and take the tidbits out of life from the week before.
Do we try to make sense of them?
We try to make sense, and sometimes
they're nonsensical.
Yes, and sometimes we just bring out the fact that when things don't make sense, that's the thing you got to go, wait a minute, there's something there, because this does not make sense whatsoever. And we dive deep into that.
There must be a pony there, huh?
Yeah, exactly, in that big pile of crap. And then we're going to talk about Elliot's Corner, what we learned from our dog this week, because we always learn something from our dog or our animals. And then we're going to have a little bit of going to the movies. We're going to do a little Sherpa review, the only way we know how to review movies. And finally, we're going to talk about, which we promise to do, sometimes we run out of time, you and I get a little talky-talky, and we're going to have our pillar talk, where we talk about the pillars of life. And this week, we're going to go deep and have some fun with pillars of life.
We're going to dive deep.
We're going to talk about the benefits of anticipation, mm-hmm, and how we can use that energy to better our life.
Remember the Carole King song? Anticipation. Anticipation is making me wait. That was how they did that
ketchup commercial. I know. And we're also going to talk a little bit about negative reinforcement for your achieving your goals.
Oh,
and
yes.
Positive reinforcement.
Yes. Now, that may sound boring, but I guarantee you.
Not the way we do
not
it.
Not the way we're going to talk about it. Because, you know, as Julie said, Mom, sometimes for me, the only thing that gets me to work is punishment.
Yes.
And then you asked me to electrocute you.
Yes. I said, if I don't achieve this goal, I don't know what I could do to up my ante.
And so I'm like, you know, first you asked me to cut you.
Yes.
Then you asked me to smack you around.
Yes.
And then finally, electrocution. I'm like, Jesus, what am I going to do, waterboard you?
Possibly.
to reach your goals. But we're going to talk about that.
That's good. I'm glad. Makes me feel good to talk about this stuff, because I think everybody's going, yeah, I have these goals, but I'm not achieving them. And I'm getting tired of holding on to the goals. And
That's true. I mean, we heard some really cool guys this week on a podcast, Tim Ferriss's podcast. You know, they're like in the top 5%, top 10%, it seems like. They're very ambitious.
Tim Ferriss and his crew.
His crew,
cronies. He would say he's in the top five for sure, because he only interviews the most experts of
the
their
best
fields,
of the, best.
The
yeah.
best of the best of their fields, and deconstructs them so that he can pull out his nuggets.
Yes.
And well, what we like
always
to do,
hurts, though, when you pull out those
nuggets. I know.
Nuggets.
What we like to do is pull out the nuggets of a little bit higher than ordinary people. We don't want to aim so high, because, you know.
Because we're real.
We're
keeping it real. Did you tell people that we're mom and daughter?
No, we're mother and daughter team.
And you're my mother. No, just kidding.
Uh-huh.
I'm the mother. I'm the one that has to waterboard you.
Exactly. And we hope that through our goofiness and our lightheartedness, we have a good time on these Sunday nights. Yeah. And if you're listening to it on the podcast, and you're doing
your walk, driving,
or whatever, mm-hmm, hope you have a little fun time as well.
Yeah.
And feel part of the family, because that's what I would really want.
I do, too.
There are times when we don't feel part of a family. And you can be part of ours. We have an open door invitation.
You bet.
To feel like...
Yeah.
You can see the inner workings of a mother-daughter relationship that I find successful enough.
I do too.
And so I want
to. Is it perfect? No, but is it successful?
Well, and here we want to talk about, in the first part of our show, this HBO special we saw last night on Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. Now, this documentary was in the works for a while, and it wasn't supposed to be released on HBO for months. They had to do some tweaking and probably do some more recording and you know, get it out there.
Sure.
But because of the untimely passing of both those ladies, mm-hmm, you know, in the last couple of weeks, they mm-hmm really put this out there now.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both saw it different times.
I
knew it was coming.
You saw it later on last night, and I saw it earlier. And I really did not want to see it. I don't know why, but it's like, you know, when you're driving past a wreck on the highway, you cannot not look.
Right.
You know, and that's how I felt about this because, I mean, it was, for us, for Christine Marie and Julie here, it has a lot of layers. I mean, there is the layer, hey, Carrie Fisher died.
Yes.
She was only 60, you know, Princess Leia.
Yeah.
You know, and coming from a, you know, an American royalty family, you know, and then a day later,
yeah,
her mom dies.
Literally a day later, her mom dies.
A day later, Debbie Reynolds dies, you know. And so there's that, you
yes.
know. And coming on the heels of really, does anybody that I've ever talked to, that I've talked to, can they say, oh, 2016, yay? No, it was coming on the heels of a lot of people passing in 2016.
Saying goodbye to this world, you know.
George Michaels, you know, just a lot of, mm-hmm. a lot of, and that 2016 in and of itself wasn't that like, yay.
Cubs won the World Series. That's pretty awesome.
You're right.
I mean, but that was it. I mean, I was mentioning this last night that 2016 was a hard year, you know, just a rough, rough year for a lot of people. And they were like,
how was that received?
Doug received it really well, but Hillary and Dave didn't as well because they had a baby. So, like, and the Cubs won. So, in their mind, you know, their life is filled with baby energy mm-hmm. and new energy, and they've got a healthy baby. So, like, life is great.
Right.
You know, but, I felt this year couldn't end fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
That almost like, hey, everybody, just hold on to the end of the year then. Take a deep sigh of relief. Mm-hmm. We all made it through, you know, because... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was feeling too. Like, I expected that today, you know, the first week, you know, in January, I'd be feeling a lot more hopeful.
Yes.
And, all right, new energy and stuff, you know, put 2016 to bed. But
Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds die in the last part of 2016?
Yes.
Or the first part of 2017?
No,
So it's been over a week. Okay. I mean, crazy.
Because they just buried her. They just buried them. They had their memorial this week.
Well, it was so we've had discussions about them because, like you said, they're royalty. They're Hollywood royalty, and they're icons in their own right. I mean, Debbie Reynolds singing in the rain, all those great old-timer movies, and she is the woman that will go to Vegas and put on a show,
mm-hmm.
like an actual, what do we call those?
A review?
Like a review. Like, yeah. She'll do talking, she'll do some singing.
Right.
You know, I don't see people a day do those very often.
No, they've got to have a full-blown show.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Carrie Fisher, you know, Star Wars, you know, prolific writer. Writes about her mother and daughter experience and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see in this movie, and
it's documentary.
I'm going to say, because on HBO, you can probably watch it in dribs and drabs if you want to or whatever, mm-hmm. but it wasn't necessarily enjoyable for me to see this movie.
No, it's not. It wasn't enjoyable for me either. And I told you, you know, you said, well, I'm gonna see it. And I knew it was late at night. And I said, put a cloak of protection around you.
Which I didn't.
You didn't, did you?
I'm sure I didn't.
Yeah. Because I felt like I needed to protect myself. Because we're dealing with it. There's a multi-layers. We're mother and daughter.
Right.
And we have an unusually
close relationship
and just a different one, I think, than the ordinary that you would think of, you know.
And when I looked at their relationship, of course, she's, you know, Carrie Fisher's 60 and Debbie Reynolds is 84, but so they have a long-term relationship for sure. they live right next door to each other. They've actually bought a compound of some sort,
correct?
And so they walk from one house to another. And I get the impression this place might have been at some sort of bed and breakfast at some time. So because of the way it's set up, the grounds are beautiful, and mm-hmm. they have a gate that goes, they can go into and so forth. So it's very private for them, and their dogs can run free and so forth. But initially, when I'm seeing their homes, my first thought is, oh, these people are stuck someplace in Hollywood past.
They're stuck in time.
They're stuck in time.
Yeah.
And it felt a little Greg Garden-ish.
100%.
And
100%.
Except I don't feel they're starving for money.
No.
But, you know, it was weird because they're both workers. They're not like they don't work. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like they both liked their stuff. And they liked their stuff around them. Different kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But none of it was updated or new.
It was eclectic. And yeah, I told you, it reminded me of Million Dollar Listing on Bravo.
Right.
Sometimes on the LA one, you'll see that there'll be this house that goes on the market, and it's decorated extremely gaudy almost.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But like 30 or 40 years old.
Yeah.
And you'll find that it's a widow and that her husband died 30 or 40 years ago. And like literally life stopped at that point.
Yes.
It's I'm not saying it's ugly or anything.
No.
But it's just you're like trapped in time.
Right.
And that is how you feel inside this complex.
Yeah.
You feel trapped in time. You feel that and it's not like they stopped working.
No, they didn't.
But they stopped growing.
Certainly, Debbie Reynolds certainly loves what she does. She did. You know, I mean, she loved going to Vegas, doing those productions once in a while. And she'd fill the place up. 500 people would come see her, all gray-haired. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was so, I think I felt so mortal watching this show.
You do.
Because, first off, the fans seeing Debbie Reynolds, when they would stand up to give her a standing ovation,
right?
You know, they'd all have trouble getting up off their seat. And you're just going, oh, oh, no. You know, you just, and I can feel my own joints creak. And I just felt mortal.
You feel mortal.
And I felt, and how sweet it was for her, like her daughter, Debbie, or Carrie, talks about how her mom needs this. Her mom,
yes.
Like, she would have liked her to totally retire.
Right.
3 or 4 years before.
Yes, easy.
Easy. But she feeds off the energy of her crowds.
Right.
And it's the same shtick about talking about Elizabeth Taylor and talking about her her love lives and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people in her audience are loving this because they remember it so clearly.
Yeah.
What I was noticing, too, is how solicitous, if that's the right word, of Carrie Fisher was to her mom.
I know.
Making sure, like, all of her needs are taken care of,
right.
You know, and her granddaughter as well. Carrie Fisher's daughter was at one of her grandmother's productions in Vegas, and she was helping her get down the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, you know, she was walking down the steps without shoes on, and her granddaughter was, like, literally helping her make sure her dress was up enough so she wouldn't trip and holding her hand. And, and I'm going, well, this is a little too much for an assistant. And I go, oh, it's her granddaughter.
Right.
And I go, I totally get that.
Yeah.
Because I would have done the same thing for my grandmother.
Right.
And
there was a real sweetness about it and how they all took care of each other.
And had a shorthand about it.
And you noticed it. Yeah, like there was no judgment. It was just... It really,
and it was sweet.
Yeah, there really was a sweetness, and I think I wonder how I would have seen it if they were both alive and we were watching this documentary.
Right.
But the fact that their deaths were so new, and
like might have been too soon. Like, this is just too soon.
It did feel a little. If you're telling me like that, you knew that it wasn't scheduled to come out for several months, it felt a little rushed in the editing room.
Right.
And so because of that, I felt like awkward and nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And but luckily, you know, we can see between the lines,
right?
And at that point, I felt like, wow, Debbie Reynolds was a lot more frail than I had even thought. You know,
at that moment,
at this time that she was making this, and it totally made sense then. The fact that she could pass at any moment.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of whether Carrie had died or not.
No. At any moment, she could have gone anyway. But because of her daughter passing, her best friend, her neighbor, her caregiver.
Her confidant.
You know.
Like you said, there
her
was
soulmate.
This shorthand between them that I just totally appreciated. And it was just...
Which only comes from being with each other for times. I mean...
It does and it doesn't. I mean... I've been with Norm a long time, and he doesn't get me
no.
like you get me.
Well, and maybe because we share DNA. I mean, possibly. I don't know. Possibly. I mean, there is a difference between a husband and wife and a mother and daughter.
Yeah.
And if it works out well, where which means there's, I believe there was competition between Carrie and Debbie Reynolds in some weird sense because they're both in, but I think Carrie early on came to a Jesus moment about it. And she had her own stuff.
I agree. And I she mean, you wasn't. Could not, you don't. You didn't get the impression that she has that Carrie had to live in the shadow of Debbie Reynolds.
No,
she made her own mark.
She made her own mark.
And so when you see them now, it's two full grown women
right
together. And I think that's what I appreciated.
Yeah. About boy, Carrie though, she was a smoker.
That helped too.
I mean,
she looked like a chain smoker to me.
We never saw her without a cigarette.
And I also know that she's, because of her bipolar depression and many other, mental illnesses, what she was talked about very openly. I mean, she was on a lot of psychotropic medicine,
yeah,
and things like that. So, when you take all that into consideration, and the fact that there's, is it okay to say isolation? I presume there is some isolation.
Well,
in
I
that
mean,
compound.
I would think there is one thing about being so famous, being that those two are such iconic people, mm-hmm. that everyone probably feels they know them and that they're
right.
friendly. Carrie Fisher would go to Comic-Cons and and be there and
right.
do signatures or
right.
for 75
sure.
bucks a shot and
oh, wow.
do pictures with people. And she said, I didn't want to do this in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then I finally just embraced it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I need to do.
Right.
And I did it and it's been fun.
Yeah.
Like she just goes.
Find the fun in it.
Yeah.
Find the joy in it.
Yeah. And these people come up dressed as her.
Aww.
And it was great. Little kids, mm-hmm. older cute people. And some would cry seeing her. It was sweet.
Aww. I think that for us, it was seeing that, how tender it was, how bittersweet it was.
Right.
Feeling awkward that I felt like it was rushed to editing. And then adding to that our own
right.
relationship that we have to, that we, we look at our relationship a lot.
Yes, because I'm sure the outside world,
if
you don't have a somewhat close relationship with your family, this would may look.
You don't get it.
You don't get it.
You
at
don't
all.
Get it. And we've had people say, "Hey, you guys ought to do coaching on this, programs on
yeah.
this." And the fact is, we feel like it. We probably could, but early on, when people were suggesting that to us, we didn't know how this worked.
Well, because at
like,
a deep level,
it felt like a miracle. To
two
us,
people would have to
like
come
grace.
Together saying, "I want a better relationship with my mom," or "I want a better relationship with my daughter," and that would be. A togetherness kind of thing would have to happen.
Right.
And forgiveness would have to take place. And I remember talking to someone, I brought this up before, and testing it on somebody who was struggling with their daughter. And she was older than me, but I felt comfortable enough to tell her. I said, "Hey, you know what?"
She said, "I would love to have a better relationship with
my
daughter."
She was complaining about this, and she goes, "Oh, I would love to have this."
And you said, hey, I can help you.
I can help you with this. Yeah. I may not know much, but I know how to help you get a better relationship with your daughter.
Yeah.
Do you want this? She goes, "Yeah, I do." And I asked her, "Are you willing to forgive her for everything you think she's done wrong?"
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I don't remember her doing anything wrong.
Right.
Because I know both people in this
right.
game.
and
she's
without
like...
without a hesitation.
Maybe a one second beat. No. I don't think so. There's a lot to be forgiven. I just don't think I can forgive her.
Mm-hmm.
I go, "Well, then I don't know if I can help
no,
you."
No, I can't help you.
And then I go, "You know what? You get the relationship you deserve."
That's right. Just like that quote that you said, I told you, like, from before you're 35 years old,
yes.
you get the skin you were born with.
Yes.
After 35, you get the skin you deserve.
And I was looking in the mirror today. I'm like, "Oh, that damn quote that my mother gave me
coming
years
back
ago.
Haunt me.
Oh, Julie, just remember, until you're 35, you're born. You got the skin you're born with, and afterwards, the skin you deserve." I'm thinking all those years without proper, proper sunscreen, and oh well. It works out. I still look very youthful,
if I may say. You are, my darling.
So, I think that's why this movie was a very big trigger for us.
Yes.
Because it was a mother-daughter relationship,
mm-hmm.
and it was tender and sweet
mm-hmm.
and kind, and a little bit of an isolation. It was isolating.
Yeah.
And sometimes I can feel that with us once in a while
yeah.
because we're so close.
Right. We don't need the other.
I don't need it. I don't need it.
Yeah.
And I don't want, sometimes people want to come in and I'm like, I don't need to share you. I don't need to share my mom with you. Yes, she is worth sharing, but I say, F you.
No.
No, I'm putting the brakes on that. Like, get your own mom. And that's not how I want people to feel. I want people to feel like you,
right.
You have enough love to be the mother of many.
Darling. Yes. You know? But it did trigger a lot of that, though.
Yeah.
Because we one of the things that we have always chosen to do, I think from the get-go, really, was that we promised ourselves that we would reflect on this. And if at any time it didn't feel right or
right.
comfortable or whatever, it would be okay. And the thing is, too, like we always said in the very beginning, no matter what happens, the relationship is not on the chopping block. Like,
right.
It was like, no matter what happens, if somebody does something horrible.
Right. Or,
it's not
or
like,
doesn't, yeah. They, you know, if somebody does something we don't like or appreciate, doesn't matter. Our bigger relationship is not on the line.
Yeah. Well,
we can have squabbles.
Right.
And it doesn't mean we say, okay.
Because you see a lot of people go, I'll never talk to you again.
Yeah.
You know,
or I don't need you in my life. I don't need this in my life.
Yeah.
And like, bye bye. Adios.
Yeah.
That's certainly one way of handling things.
Right.
But if you have a deep relationship with someone, guess what? You're not going to please them all the time. They're not going to please you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst, try and please yourself. And so when you go, I have a lot, you know, through the ups and downs, we're still together.
You know, you kind of hurt my feelings this week one time.
Oh, did you?
No,
did I?
You did. And it's kind of funny because I never expected it. It was in an odd way. You said you were talking about. You said you maybe you could remember this. But you said something about. Oh, I disappointed mom. Do you remember that? He goes, I didn't want to disappoint you.
Yes, I think we were talking about.
And I just like, I felt like I wanted to cry inside because I go, that's the last thing I would want from you.
Right.
Is to think that you disappointed me. I mean, I know I like, you know, I can be a bitch and do all that.
That's
stuff.
A common thing, though, of
do
kids
you know?
That love their parents.
Yeah.
Even. No matter how old I get, I will always think about, I don't want to disappoint my parents. That's why I haven't tried the marijuana cigarette. You know,
my mom would be disappointed in me.
No, but I already know what that was about.
What was that about?
When we were talking, and we'll talk about more about that in our letter segment about pillar talk, it was about negative reinforcements. How, and I said, listen, disappointing my mom hasn't gotten me to do what I needed to do to have a better life.
I know. That's right. That's what you said.
I go, I disappoint her all the time.
Oh, no.
I'm off my lazy butt.
Oh, and I thought, oh, my God. That's the last thing I want is to be. To be, you know,
well, sometimes
seen
I go, I love listening to Tim Ferriss and some of these higher.
Like, oh, look at mom's face. She's disappointed.
She's disappointed. Oh, yeah. I've seen that face. I know what that face looks like. And it's a face of disappointment. And I go,
oh, no.
You know, and sometimes at night I go, oh, just get this done. So, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't want to like let out all my trash. but here's the thing though. We know these things about each other.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Oh, that's mom's disappointed face.
Yeah. And I'm not saying you're disappointed with me.
No.
Just a situation.
Yeah. Also, that's just me. I'm like, in some ways, even though I don't want to be my mother's daughter, there is that disappointed face.
Right.
You know?
Well, and it's like I'm going through my cynical stage and you're going through your disappointed stage.
Oops. That's not working.
Then together, we just one big barrel
we're like
of monkeys.
A ball of energy, a ball of fun.
Yeah. La, la, la. And, yeah, come to us for coaching.
Yes.
Because we know we've been there. We've struggled and we know what it's all about, you know, and we're still doing it.
Yes, we're still doing it. We didn't give up.
No, that's the whole point.
Just think if we would have given up 10 years ago.
Well, I think too, these Sunday night shows for us, it's about.
It's therapy for us. No,
it is therapy for us. It's the best hour of my week overall because I get to, I say for an hour, we have to talk to each other and can't stop.
Right.
And can't walk away. But it also gets people to let them know our personality a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a static, flat person. piece showing you just my, what I really want to show you on my social media. Yes, here's my picture
here's
of me.
Here's my cool personality.
Look at me in my fabulous sunglasses and, you know.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all
here,
wonderful.
I have, I have an outline and we talk for an hour. I don't have the words I'm going to say.
No.
We let it flow where it comes. And a lot of times I'm like, hey, remember this line, what Christy said, because it's a good line for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sometimes you just got to go, oh, this is a good quote. Mm-hmm. This is a good nugget.
Well, like we were talking and there were, I said, we were talking about what we wanted, how we wanted to, there was three P's. Do you remember that this morning? It was like protect.
Be a provider.
We wanted to be a producer,
a
not
producer,
a consumer. We wanted
producer.
To provide for our family, mm-hmm. and we wanted to protect our family.
Because we were thinking about...
The three P's
the three
of our
P's
lives.
Of our lives, but also the three P's of our lives.
For Peters.
But it's the idea that, you know, who do you want to be? Like, be, do, have, and coaching. But
and coaching.
Not just what you want to do. Like, oh, I want to do this. I want to create this. I want to be this.
But it's also, not only what you want to be, but it's the why.
And like at a deep level, I want to be, what do I want to do this? Because I want to be a producer of things.
That's right.
I want to be a protector of my family.
Yes.
I want to be a provider for my family.
Exactly.
And then you go,
and that's
oh,
the
light
big
bulb.
Why. That because we were talking about motivation.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, man, I'm just sitting here. I want to be warm. I want to drink hot cocoa, you know.
Right.
And not do anything and feel kind of lethargic, you know.
Oh, for sure.
And then we said, wait a minute, we got to find the bigger why.
Yeah.
Because the small whys, maybe they can get us there.
Yes.
Not
all
some
the time.
Level. No.
Because we're all busy.
Yeah.
We all have
and
lives.
And we're all tired.
And we're tired and we have, well, big lives and we're taking care of each other and taking care of our family and maybe our community if we're getting out there a little bit more. And then we're like, tired.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, this week I said my famous line. It's like, you know what? You need to be happy because life is short. And I'm like, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, 7.5 pound baby Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I am happy because life is short.
It will be over soon. Just ask Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. And sometimes when things get tough, I go, just be smile happy. Life is short anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's short anyway. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, see the beauty in it. Like yesterday, I went... saw the bison. They were
mm-hmm.
close.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the eagles. The eagles have landed in this area.
In our area, yes.
They've
they
landed.
Have.
And they're everywhere.
And they're bald.
Yes. And so forth. But you ready to move into a little movie?
Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. And see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
All right. So here we are at Movie Talk. Movie time. I don't know. Whatever we call it.
Well,
let's go to the movies.
Let's all go to the movies. And when we go there, we don't do the first run movies. You can get that anywhere.
Right.
But we go to the movies that maybe you got to dig a little in the video
store.
Well,
and here's the reason why we want to review those movies. Because...
You tell me, Jill.
I'm going to tell you because if you go and review, look at the reviews that happen on the big screen, you're going to get a different perspective.
Right.
We want to tell you like how it was when you went to the video store, picked it up or did it on Netflix mm-hmm. or HBO and you brought it, mm-hmm. you started watching it at home
mm-hmm.
from the comfort of your home
mm-hmm.
with some popcorn you made.
Mm-hmm. Or like our Saturday night dinner.
Your criteria, which mm-hmm. for you is always under 2 hours.
My criteria is 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
90 minutes.
We saw one movie that this week that was just like that. Not funny.
No.
But 90 minutes.
Julie and I saw Sully.
What'd you think?
And I... In terms of Sherpa hats,
mm-hmm.
because that's how we instead of stars, we give Sherpa hats because we feel like we're your guide up
yes.
the mountain
of the movies
of the movie mountains that aren't first run. They aren't.
Right.
They didn't come out. I gave it like 2.5 Sherpa hats. There were times I was watching and I go, Julie, now is this past tense? Is this future tense? I couldn't really.
Yeah,
it was disjointed.
It was a little difficult for you to understand.
And Tom Hanks plays Sully, the guy who saved the passengers out of the. He ditched the plane in the Hudson, you know, and nobody lost their lives. And I felt like Tom Hanks. Okay, so let's say he met Sully,
mm-hmm.
and he came back going, I can nail this character.
Yes.
And what it is, it's just flat.
Flat.
I'm a flat character.
Yes.
I never do this.
I'm
only
very
talk
professional.
Like this. And so, okay, that was
kind of boring. He acted well.
Yeah, oh yeah, he deserves an Academy Award for that. But
wasn't so, like he nailed Forrest Gump.
No, exactly. So I felt kind of, I don't know, just adequate.
Okay.
The only thing I really did like was when the plane, you know, crashed into the water.
Yeah.
And it started filling up and the people, you know, got out in the wings. And literally within, was it 24 minutes,
everybody was saved.
It was like they landed in the Hudson.
Yeah.
There happened to be ferry boats.
Yep.
That saw this happen and went over there. And within the time of the plane crashed, and in 24 minutes, everybody, 155 people, some in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Some, you know, disabled.
Yeah.
Everybody made it to the ferry boat.
Yep.
I thought that was fabulous. And that was the happiest part of the movie for me.
I agree. And what I thought was really sweet about the movie, I'm going to give it 3 stars.
Oh, okay.
I was more anxiety provoked throughout the whole movie. It was pretty intense. Mm-hmm. And it's more about what he had to go through afterwards, the criticizing him, like, you could have made it back to the airport.
Well, they said that our simulators show that you could have, you didn't have to have a water landing.
Right.
You could have made it back to Teterboro or some airport. And he just
kept to his guns. No.
He said, no.
No.
You're not allowing human factor in this.
Which is time to evaluate and go through the list.
Yeah. Give me 30.
I don't want to tell everybody a thing.
All right. Right.
But I will say this. What I thought was interesting about it, everybody did their job. But they were the reason why New York was so happy about this is
you
that it came
that.
At a time when they were just feeling like crap.
Yeah.
You know, they just the economy was still in the tank. You know, they were
still recovering from 2001.
You know, seeing the planes. He goes, it was just good to have good news.
Right.
From a tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, oh my God, a plane hit Hudson and everybody survived.
Right.
And everybody took care of each other.
And everybody
there was
everybody was happy.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, we did this. We landed and we're safe.
Yes, exactly.
Next movie I saw, if I can go real quickly, is Nice Guys, The Nice Guys. And thank you for recommending that. It did not, it wasn't 90 minutes long. It was over 2 hours. And it was a period piece. It took place in the 70s, and they did a good job of that. And Russell Crowe did a good job.
Yeah.
But I am absolutely, positively, 110% in love with Ryan Gosling. I'm in love with him.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And I hate Eva Mendes for that. I want him.
Yeah, I know. He's a looker.
He's darling.
He's just darling. I like that movie, too.
He's going to be a star if he's not already.
Oh, he's a star.
But he's going to be a big star.
I don't think we create stars like that anymore,
no,
like Tom Cruise.
But he's got, you know what? He's got something.
He does.
I look at him, and just the way he delivers a line
are
the little... It's always those people, like, remember in Zumba, the first one that came out? The one girl, she kind of looked like a stripper. She had a tramp stamp. But everybody wanted to be her in the Zumba because she gave a little bit of extra.
Right.
It's like the people that always give a little bit of extra something, you know. And, like, you know, she'd just have a little extra in her wiggle when she did Zumba.
Yeah.
And like, even, like, when you go to get a cup of coffee at McDonald's, it's the person that says, good morning.
Yes.
Oh, here's your coffee.
I know.
As opposed to, hey, here you go. You know, have a good day.
When I'm called a sweetheart or a sweetie, I like that. I know some people are offended, like, how dare you call me sweetie? I don't know you. But I really like when people I don't know call me sweetie.
Right.
I don't know why.
Right.
Makes me feel all warm and fuzzy.
So what I'm saying is I think he always gives... He fills up the space more than other people, where they're just delivering a good job.
Uh-huh. You know, he goes the extra mile.
Yeah, and so the movie was a little disjointed to me, and this is another movie that I didn't know if it was taking place in real time, past time, or whatever. And yet I still enjoyed it because mainly his performance.
And Russell Crowe did a good job. How many Sherpa hats are you going to give it?
Oh, I'm going to give it 3.
3 Sherpa hats.
Yeah,
okay,
definitely.
Good.
I liked it more than Sully.
Yes, I can see that.
Yeah.
Different movies, but, you know, and so forth, but I can see that. So are you ready for a little Elliot's Corner?
You bet.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me.
Welcome to Elliot's Corner.
Here we are at Elliot's Corner. Give me a short Elliot's Corner.
How come?
Because we don't have a lot of time.
Aww. Time is not on our side.
And so here we are talking about Elliot's Corner.
And Elliot is our Wheaton Terrier. He's 2 years old. He's still our puppy. He's darling.
And the one thing that you want to talk about today with Elliot's Corner, because we believe that you can learn a lot from your animals.
And we have.
Yeah. Okay, before we talk about Elliot really quick, I must say this from the movie last night, Bright Lights with Carrie Fisher.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, so Carrie Fisher's brother, Todd Fisher, is married to Catherine Heinlein. Hicklin, I think.
Yeah.
She's a soap star, Days of Our Lives.
Right.
Anyway, they just got recently married a couple years ago or whatever. She has a therapy chicken, an emotional therapy chicken she carries with her everywhere. Ridiculous.
That's not true. You can have a therapy chicken.
Ridiculous.
I'm
not judging
I
you.
I protest.
That is crazy. But the chicken seemed fine. And she seemed fine holding this chicken forever. I don't know why she just didn't want to get a little doggy, but well, the chicken.
They were saying that this week in California, there was a new law enacted that you can't, you're not allowed to hold your phone while you're driving.
Right.
You know, but you're allowed like a one swipe or one push at the beginning of a call, and then one swipe or one push. So you're allowed two swipes or two pushes, and you can't touch your phone. So the people are going, they're up in arms. They're saying like, well, where can we put our phone? And the government said, well, you can put it in your purses or your briefcases.
Yeah.
And everybody went, are you kidding me? That's where we keep our dogs.
In our purse.
In our purses.
Well, you know, we were planning a cruise.
Therapy
dogs.
Yeah,
we're planning a cruise possibly. Just kind of talking about planning a cruise. And we looked up their recommendations for dogs.
Because we thought maybe we can take Elliot along on this cruise.
Yeah, we didn't know, right? The first thing they said was,
only service dogs.
Service dogs are permitted if they are properly trained
and certified, and they wear sunglasses.
Doctor, you know, permission or whatever.
Right.
And they said therapy
and comfort dogs
are not permitted.
And I'm like, How dare you not let me take my puppy
along?
That's the same thing at our gas station where we go and get our gas. It said, only service dogs allowed. No therapy or comfort dogs. I'm like, damn you. You don't know how much comfort my dog gives me.
And I get it. Cause
are your therapy rooster.
Yes. They don't, maybe that's how she gets around it.
Yeah.
You did not say I couldn't bring my rooster on board on this plane. Or maybe she's like the word saying, she calls it like her cock.
My comfort cock.
Those are called, right?
Comfort cocks.
Yes.
And you know what? They come in all sizes.
And all colors.
So really? I know. There's like one color.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's a love color.
Okay. Well, I disagree with you on that part. I think they come in all shapes, all colors. I could be wrong.
You know, jokes are so funny. Do I have time to tell a kind of... It's not a joke, actually, but it may take me a minute.
Go for it.
Do I have a minute?
Yes, if you start now, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm actually wondering if I should actually say this. But so Norm and I are watching the movie last night. And, you know, we're watching The Nice Guys, and we're eating M&Ms in bed. And not that that's wrong or anything. And so after the movie, and I said, Norm, you know, I really could use a back massage, you know? And so he goes, okay, good. The movie's over. I'll give you a back massage. And so I'm laying on the bed, you know, and he's standing up and get me back. And he goes, oh my God, you have an M&M on your butt. And okay. So I said, this is the joke, right?
Right.
I go, that's not an M&M. Not get that. Come on.
That's funny,
right? But this is Norm's humor. He had to go one beyond that.
What did he do?
And he goes, because I thought that was done. That's the joke.
That was
the
joke.
That's not an M&M, right? He goes, it's a red rabbit pellet. And he goes, no, it's a bloody rabbit turd. And he's going on and on. And I'm like, do I have to explain comedy to you? This is not comedy. You just went too far.
Right.
You're not funny.
Right. So
the joke ended at
That's not an M&M. You know. He needed then to describe, like, well, what is it then? And this is a red M&M. It must be a bloody rabbit turd.
Rabbit pellet. Yeah. And I'm like, no, you're not funny now.
Somehow you have a rabbit turd.
Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense.
That makes total sense. Yeah. I understand that. Like, how'd you get that rabbit pellet on your
butt?
But
see, I think he just had to, like, he could not.
Yeah, he has to up it.
He has to up it, and he goes too far, and then you ruin the bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ruins a bit.
That's right. So I guess it's okay I told that story.
Yes, I think it was charming.
Oh, good.
Okay. Funny.
That's what I learned from my animal this week.
It makes it more in context because I overheard Dad talking to Greg something about, he goes, yeah, and your mother and I were naked in bed together. And I'm like, what is this about? And so now it makes all sense. It was Normano naked too while he was giving you the massage? Maybe I don't want to know this. You know what? The truth is, you've been married for a long time. You have my permission to be naked. I don't know.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. You ready for a little pillar talk?
Yes.
Pillow talk. Pillow talk. So here we are at Pillar Talk, which we promised to get through.
Thank you, Doris Day, who's a friend of Debbie Reynolds, I'm sure.
Is she dead? Not yet. Close.
No.
Getting there. Right. But anyway, so what we're doing at Pillar Talk is we're talking about this idea, the benefits of anticipation.
As we sang before.
Yes, exactly.
And is there benefits to anticipation?
There is. Sometimes the anticipation of something, the positive anticipation of something, can make life a little bit funner, more joyful, novelty.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were listening to, again, one of our heroes, Tim Ferriss, talk about, they were saying, like, what if you're trying to do something, a goal, but you know that the payoff is not that great. It's something you want to do, but it's not like, oh, wow, the payoff is so wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, no, I don't adhere to that. He goes, the anticipation of it, the doing of it is the goal.
Right.
That's the good part.
And
you're
the,
like, whoa.
Well, not just that, but like we're talking about like planning vacations. Like if you are planning something that's really fun.
Yeah.
Not just going on vacation is great.
No.
The anticipation leading up to the vacation.
That's the good part.
That's the good part. That makes your life fun, enjoyable, novelty.
And so that's why we're talking to people this year. Like, start planning now for fun stuff.
Yeah.
Go and that's on some great vacations.
We're talking about going on a cruise together.
Right.
You had wanted to go on this one cruise from Abraham Hicks, if people
I
know.
I wanted to go so desperately.
And it's French Riviera.
Right.
Italy. It's good. But Spain. It's a 12-day cruise.
Right.
We'd have to fly there. You know, first thing Normano says is, I don't know if with my vertigo, if I could first be on a cruise and if I could fly.
Right.
And
so then we thought, and then we sort of did some research, which is fun and anticipating.
Yeah.
And a lot of the research says that you need to go on like a small thing to
for
try
your first
it out,
cruise,
your first time.
Yes.
And this would be our first time.
Haven't you cruised before? No, really, because it just... No. I grew up with my grandmother always saying, why cruise? Why be stuck on a boat in the middle of the ocean and you can't get off ever? They won't let you off. There's no reason you can get off.
You could be on a bus, which is what she wanted to do.
Yes. And I go,
with another,
I get that.
50, 60 year, 60 senior citizens.
Exactly.
And one John.
And so we're going, and he was not a happy man. He didn't like all the attention. Why are Johns referred to as like they partake in prostitutes and they're called bathrooms? Why is that?
Yeah, that's
kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're pimps too.
And
no, they're not. No,
they're not.
They're the customer. Yeah,
the partakers of it.
Right.
So yeah, there's John. You know, he's a John going to the John. It's like, yeah, get some damn water.
Yeah.
I went to the dam to get some damn water. The damn man said I couldn't have any damn water. So I told the damn man, you can take his damn water. Grandpa, thank you for
that joke.
Thank you, Evo, for that joke.
ABCD puppy, elemental puppy, OSAR, CMPN. Thank you, Grandma.
Thank you, Grandma.
That one.
So
that's not, I guess, not as funny as, that's not an M&M.
No, it's not nearly as funny as that. But what we do when things are positive in your life, it's good to have positive anticipation carry you through, keep you up.
Yeah.
Now, there's also negative anticipation that we want to nip that in the bud. When something that's going on that you're kind of like not dealing with, you can feel anticipation for that negative event as well. Mm-hmm. And that's a sign of like saying, take care of it. Mm-hmm. Get it going. Mm-hmm. Move it forward. So there's a way
put
of
that,
using...
Perhaps put that on your fear list for the year.
Yes. Deal with the fear, mm-hmm. which is, okay, if the worst case scenario happens, what do I really lose?
Right.
And how long will it take me to get to back to where I am,
yes.
status quo again? Yeah. And then you go, okay, I can deal with that.
I put that on my fear list.
You mm-hmm. used to have a picture in your mind of what your worst case scenario was. Mm-hmm. And that was Bag Lady living under the mm-hmm. viaduct, which is like, mm-hmm. like that's going
to
happen?
I have to tell you something, though. When that was my worst case scenario,
yeah.
I was in a group of probably about 15, 20 women that we were all in the support group together. I wasn't the only one.
Isn't that funny?
That was... Several of our
well, I get worst. That. The older I get,
it?
I can understand that.
Why is that?
That
for females?
I think because, especially your generation, you had to rely on men still financially.
100%.
So even though you take care of yourself financially, you still didn't embrace it completely and say, I must take care of every aspect of myself financially.
Right. It was just like, oh, you can squirrel out this little time for yourself.
Yes.
I have a little part-time
And so if
life,
everything
business.
Fell apart and your man didn't take care of you and your family left you,
which
you gave time, what would you have?
Right.
Nothing but maybe you could steal a shopping cart and live under the viaduct.
Right.
And you just keep walking south until it got warm enough that you can handle it.
Right.
You know? I can understand that. Mm-hmm. Because I know people now who have checked out mm-hmm. and like have had to go south or had to go west mm-hmm. to find places where people who are kind of homeless can survive.
There was that woman from Mount Morris and she was homeless.
Yeah.
And she was picked up by the police for something and it was wrong and they let her go, but it was the middle of the night and they found her the next morning and she had frozen to death.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. That makes you, you know.
I mean, couldn't she have plugged in? I know. Plugged into any kind. Could we have not gotten her any service?
That's what everybody was saying. How could you,
is there not any service?
Let her go.
And then you go, well, am I taking her in? You know, who's taking her in? It's
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then maybe she wanted to go, you know.
Because life is short.
Thank you. So I want to talk about that real quick about,
Sure.
you know, so this time, let's plan a couple of things. You know, plan that trip that weekend trip to Chicago where you want to go to the French market.
Yeah.
And you want to go to the Millennial Park. And, mm-hmm. I want to take a trip around Lake mm-hmm. Michigan.
And get it in your head that you're happy doing the research,
yeah.
happy being in anticipation, not that it becomes a hassle.
No,
or a
exactly.
thing. Get in the idea that, and so we're using in terms of, we're using trips, but there are other things that you can learn to
concerts.
Be.
Concerts.
To be in anticipation about.
Yeah.
And in an elevated participation.
Right.
Like I used to, there were things that I didn't want to do, but I used to do something or plan something after that.
Right.
So that it would help me
yes.
get through the thing.
I don't want to do this, but afterwards, I'm going to be able to do this.
And so
this
I would
week,
hold
I'll get
on
to that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's how I did it. You
yeah.
know, you were telling me, again, we were talking about how we stay motivated to do something that we really needed
right.
to do and that there is positive reinforcement. But you were talking to me about that there's a new thing out that you can do online.
It's negative reinforcement.
It's negative reinforcement. And one of the things is stick.com.
Right.
STICKK.com.
And what it's all about is putting money down and that if you don't achieve your goal, they take it. And they sometimes do crazy things with it. Like,
they ask you, what is the worst thing that you can have your money go to? Like they asked this one Jewish guy.
Right.
And he said, the Nazis.
Done. So if you don't do this goal, we're going to put your $100 towards Nazism or whatever.
American Nazi Party.
Yeah. You'll support them. And everybody will know that you supported them
mm-hmm.
because it'll
your
be.
Your name will be on the
register. You'll be donating to them. Like, holy cow.
So if that was, is that a big enough stick?
Yes.
To make you, well, $100 wouldn't be enough, but I mean,
I think the minimum
was like $2,500.
Yes. And it could be anything. It'd be
right.
10 grand.
Yeah, it could be.
And it wouldn't go to the person. It doesn't go to stick.com. There might be a little fee for this, of course.
Right.
but it is a way of negatively punishing you if you do not achieve your goals. Right. And I was
for some people that works more than a positive.
Yeah, because we talk about creating a positive reason of why you want to accomplish your goal, right. A big enough why.
Right.
But if you don't 100% believe you can do that, that big enough why is just fantasy.
It's nothing.
And right. It could be a way to elevate your mood, which is awesome in itself. Mm-hmm. There are reasons to be positively expecting good things to happen in your life. Right. It makes you feel good.
Just like that little dog, that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Like, you could tell that he expected magic in every encounter,
Right. Those are all good things.
Yeah.
They may not get you motivated to do the things that have to be done to get you to where you want to go. And you go, okay, well, what is a big enough motivator? And negatively, I was thinking, I trust you guys, but maybe, if I don't achieve this goal here, in a week, maybe punch me in the face.
Yeah. You said slap me.
I think I said slap me.
And then you said
electrocute me. Maybe cut me. Maybe just cut me. Mm-hmm. I go, maybe cut me my leg or a little bit on my arm. I don't know, just cut me. I don't know. I mean, what could be a big enough deterrent that I go, I got to get this shit done.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to get this done, And that could be because I'm so cynical right now that nothing is turning me on.
Right.
But yet again, I'm looking at the good things of everything and I have a good life and I feel grateful.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada. But I'm wondering, I'm not suggesting people choose violence as their stick, but it does remind me of that.
But that's how we were raised. Our parents raised us that way.
And what I do remember real quick was that...
Not your parents.
No, your parents. My parents said, not that way. That was crazy. I'm going to do the complete opposite. Anyway, it reminds me of that one Twilight Zone episode. It was a new one. It was a Twilight Zone movie where... Mm-hmm. Can't think of the guy's name. He's an actor, probably like 60 now, maybe a little bit.
William Shatner?
No. Much younger than that. Kind of crazy. I think he was in a relationship with. Can't think of her name.
Brain fart.
Yeah, totally. No kidding.
Shoot,
it doesn't matter. But anyway. He's in, he's supposed to quit smoking. He goes to this company that's going to help him quit smoking. And he's there. What they do is they hire someone to follow him around. And if he starts smoking, they cut off his wife's finger. Then, so we see first they kidnap his wife and electrocute him. And that electrocute their wife. And they're like, oh no. So he goes, oh my God, I can't smoke ever again. Mm-hmm. Then he lights up again and they cut off her finger. And by the end, we see 6 months later. We don't know if they cut off her finger initially. We don't see that. Uh-huh. We just see 6 months later and he goes, oh yeah, I haven't smoked in 6 months. And his wife's missing a finger, like Twilight Zone. He hasn't smoked in 6 months, but before that, he did light up.
Yeah.
He thought he wasn't going
to
get caught.
Don't get on that rocket ship. To Serve Man is a cookbook.
Yeah, cookbook. Yeah, so I think that if we are able to, they never say have someone else be your motivator, but sometimes they are.
You need a stick.
Yeah. I say try and investigate that a little bit. I think dietbet.com is one.
Yes.
Stick.
And was it BJ Fogg is another one?
I don't know.
There's several out there. I mean, I certainly don't. I don't know.
I want to believe that we can all achieve what we want to achieve through positive experiences and positive motivation and the bigger why.
But then you hear like Napoleon Hill in his book, Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah.
He talks about these guys that did stuff in prison.
Yeah.
Or like at the lowest part of their point of their lives, they went, holy crap,
I got
if
nothing.
I don't do this.
Yeah. So we know that at those moments.
Yeah. True.
You have to you do it. So, anyway, everyone, I want you to say thank you for listening to our radio show today.
How can they reach us, Julie?
Go to ChristineMarieAndJulie.com or ConsciousCommunity.com, which is our new website. Conscious Community.
What about they want to email us?
Talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. And we want to say thank you very much for listening to us and buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect. Support the show. Buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect, on Amazon.com. The Clutterfly Effect. Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
And number one bestseller, by the way.
Yeah, how did the show, girlfriend?
I thought it was great.
And it was great. It was great. It was great.